Now, the worship service of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Pastor Keith Griswold. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church.
Good morning. Welcome to worship. First Sunday of Advent, and we're glad you're here with us as we start to prepare our hearts and our minds to celebrate the birth of Christ. Right now, we're going to start off with announcements.
Joy to come into the sanctuary this morning and see all the banners hanging, and really thank Mark and Lori for all the work of putting the banners up and decorating the sanctuary.
Well, I'd like to thank Stormy and Craig for what they do downstairs in the fellowship hall. The decorations they put up, the coffee hour that they provide every week. Thank you, you guys.
Jackie Tickner, who was hanging around in the church yesterday when I was here, and she was putting up stuff as well. You all do a beautiful job, and thank you all for your dedication and your work. Well, I see no other hands going up, so I would ask if we could prepare ourselves to enter into a time of prayer as Bobby gets us ready to go online. And we're going to welcome those who are online with us this morning and those who have joined us on radio. And we would ask if you would to join your heart with my heart as we enter into a time of prayer. Oh, loving God, we do give you our thanks this day to be able to gather together to worship you. As we enter into the season of Advent, oh Lord, as we start to prepare ourselves to celebrate the birth of Christ, we ask that your Spirit would be here with us. Move through us, Lord. Be in our praise and in our worship. May the light of your love shine on us so that we can take it with us into the world around us. Lord, this is your creation, and we have been called to be your stewards of it. We ask that you will pour yourself out on us so that we may be refreshed and renewed. We ask this in the name of your Son, our Savior Jesus. Amen.
Would you join me as we sing, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel? Deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Comes from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. God gave Isaiah the gift of seeing into the future. At this time, God showed Isaiah what would eventually happen to Jerusalem. A wonderful future of peace is described when instruments of war will be converted to instruments of farming, and we will be taught God's laws and obey them. And here is the reading. This is what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will not take up sword against the nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. This is the word of God for God's people. Thanks be to God.
I'm going to ask you all to do me a favor. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, please, and keep your eyes closed until I ask you to open them. I want to read to you some very familiar words, words that are rooted deep in our Christian faith, words that Jesus himself taught us. Okay, everyone has their eyes closed. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, keeping your eyes closed, please, I want you to consider something. What would it be like if in those few seconds of me saying those words, God's kingdom had come on earth? What kind of a world do you see? Now you can open your eyes. Anyone want to shout out a word or a phrase that you would use to describe what it will be like to live in God's kingdom?
Tolerance.
Peace.
Love.
Harmony. What about no injustice? No prejudice. No inequities. No war. That is certainly what we believe is going to be the kingdom of God. Now, what about this idea expressed by the author of Revelation? It's part of his vision. Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he, God, will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Think about it. That is what we pray for every time we pray the Lord's Prayer. We pray that we will live fully in God's presence. Today is the first Sunday of Advent, and in the church we start to wait, and we start to expect. Now, I'll tell you, we are not just waiting to celebrate the birth of Jesus. We are also waiting for him to come again. For followers of Jesus, our life is filled with preparation and expectation. We are waiting for his return and the establishment of the kingdom of God. And Advent is when that time of waiting becomes more overt. We sing about it in the hymns that we just sang this morning. O come, Emmanuel. We sing about it when we sing joy to the world and say, let every heart prepare him room. One of the reasons Jesus is key in all of this is what philosopher Dallas Willard had to say about Jesus. Jesus is the human face on the kingdom of God. Did you hear that? Jesus is the human face of the kingdom of God. He makes it concretely accessible. That's from Willard's book, Knowing Christ Today. In Jesus and in his teachings, we hear about life in God's kingdom. In Jesus' life, we see what kingdom life is like and how it is to be lived out. When we make room for Jesus, we are surrendering our hearts and our lives to him. We become his, and we become part of his body, the church. And we wait, and we work, and we expect that God's kingdom will come in its fullness when Jesus returns. But in the interim, in the here and now that we are at, we become his ambassadors. We, the churches, become embassies of God's kingdom. See, churches are to be the places where God's peaceful and loving kingdom can be seen in the midst of a hostile world. We are to be a light of hope to a world filled with hopelessness. This is what the New Testament tells us. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us this message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We are God's ambassadors. During the weeks of Advent, several of the suggested Bible readings are from the prophet Isaiah. And I want us to consider the ideas that we find in Isaiah that relate to the kingdom of God, as well as what we see in the New Testament. These are ideas such as today: light, righteousness, joy, and the presence of God, the incarnation. So this morning, I want us to consider that last verse that we just read out of Isaiah. Come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let us walk in the light of the Lord, because when God's kingdom does come, there will be light. How many of you have ever walked into a dark room? Even if you know that room, you usually end up, what? Walking into something. Stubbing your toe, hitting your knee. And of course, it's even worse if you're not familiar with the room and it's dark. Then it becomes downright dangerous. That happened several years ago to the singer Barry Manilow. He was on tour in a hotel, got up in the middle of the night, walked right into a wall, and he broke his nose. Life is like that, isn't it? No matter how much we think we know what's going on in our life, we really are just walking in the dark. We're walking in the dark because of the simple fact is this: none of us knows the future. We might have plans, but we don't know if those plans are going to work out, or at least work out the way that we think they will. For a lot of us, we end up walking into emotional and spiritual walls and breaking something. Do you recall what Jesus said about light? He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. It is the light of God made known to us in Jesus that has overcome the spiritual darkness that creates in us that sense of being lost or unsure. It is the light of God reflected in Christ that turns our spiritual darkness into a new day. There's a saying that some of you may be familiar with. I looked it up to try to see where it came from, and I have found that it has been used by preachers, it has been used by presidents, it's by wannabe presidents, it's been used by presidents' wives. I think there may have been an archbishop in Rochester at one time who even used it in the Roman Catholic Church. It is better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. In Jesus, God has lit the candle. Because for us, God's light signifies a new beginning, new life. Think about the opening words of the Bible, Genesis. God looks out on a formless, dark void, and we are told, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Without light, there would be no plants. Without light, there are no animals. Without light, our world is just a frozen rock spinning around in the vacuum of space. And the same is true for our hearts. Without the light of Christ in our lives, they would be cold and spiritually lifeless. Now, just as Genesis talks about God creating light that gives physical life, the opening lines of the Gospel of John talk about the spiritual light in our world. In him, the Word was life, and that life was the light of humankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Did you catch that connection? In the beginning, God spoke a word, and the light comes into being, and all of creation follows. Then that word becomes flesh, and it becomes our spiritual light for our lives. The scriptures tell us that in Jesus, all things hold together through him. Through God's living word, Jesus, through that word, we really come alive. Jesus is that one little candle that needs to be lit in our lives that takes away the darkness. And when we have God's light in our life, then we, now hear this, when we've got God's light in our life, we are to be light bearers. We are to take that light out into the world. As followers of Jesus, our purpose is not to just become a member of a church. We are not to swell the numbers of membership roles. Rather, our purpose as disciples of Jesus is to be part of the church that has been called to go and work for, to work towards the kingdom of God. Our mission is to proclaim the kingdom in our words and in our actions. I should say something here, because there are people who suggest that we should stop using the phrase kingdom as it relates to God. For some people, mostly here in the United States, they say that we can't relate to this idea of a king because we haven't had one in over 250 years. So they suggest that we use words like the reign of God or the rule of God. Now, I certainly think that is a valid point, and it expresses some very good ideas. Problem I have with the reign of God is when I hear reign of God, I think of R-A-I-N. You know, I like the rule of God better or the kingdom of God. But for this sermon series, I'm sticking with the traditional, the kingdom of God. So let's go back now to us, disciples, and our being the light bearers. Prophet Isaiah said this about the people of God, and that we have a mission. Isaiah says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. That was God's mission for the people of Israel, to be a light to the Gentiles, to point them to the one true God, so that they could come to God's mountain and worship the Lord. Now, Jesus, he tells us, his disciples, this: you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. As I said, as the church, we are to be God's embassy, and we are to be God's lighthouse. As followers of Christ, we are to bring God's light to those around us. We are to shine the light of God's kingdom into a darkened world. Where there is injustice, we work for justice. Where there are wounds, we bring healing. Where there is damnation, we proclaim mercy. Where there is sin, we proclaim grace and forgiveness. The Christian life, our faith, is about living in the light of Christ, the light that has come to give us life, the light which offers the world the promise of a new creation. Near the end of the book of Isaiah, God gives us a promise. The sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you, for the Lord will be your everlasting light. Now that hope, that promise, was spoken almost 700 years before Jesus' birth. But it gets echoed after his death and resurrection in the book of Revelation. When John sees the new heaven and the new earth, he tells us this: there will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Friends, when all is said and done, when God does roll up the sky like a scroll and says it is over, then what was begun in Jesus' life at his birth will be completed. The kingdom of God will come in its fullness. So over the coming weeks, you know, we're going to see lots of lights. Some are going to distract us. But when you see those Christmas lights, remember the light. In him was life. And that life was the light of all people. Let us go and reflect that light. Amen. Going to ask if you would please stand. We're going to sing, Christ is the World's Light.
go. Go into a world that needs to know the love of God and to see the light of Christ. Be for them light bearers. Go now, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to the 10 a.m. service from the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays or in person at 10 a.m. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.